Om Agyanatamarandasya Since you've done a lot of song, I will pick one board.
Is
it right? Can sing along.
Am I the only student today? Am I the only student today?
I don't know, it looks like it. You never know, people might come in. Anyway, this is the song, not the bottom.
The bottom song.
And I might explain it in the light, so let's see. Maybe I'll explain it. I can maybe explain it a little bit now. Because then you know what you're singing, which is always good. Otherwise, you'll just be like a parrot.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't want it. It's a song by Srila Thakur Bhaktivinod, or Bhaktivinod Thakur, you can see that here. It's on page number 2.
Yeah, one of these books.
Oh, I thought you had one.
You find this one? So it's the first picture.
He's a very important person.
Thakura Bhakti.
Yeah, he's the father of Srila Prabhupada's guru.
Okay.
So he was a family man, and he was a judge in Puri. Maybe you've heard of it. It's a place in India, Jagannath Puri. And he was the magistrate there. He was like a big judge for the British. He was a very respected gentleman. And he wrote many, many songs. And so this song was written by him. And it's called Radha Madhava. Or actually it's called Jai Radha Madhava. But Jai means all glories.
Is the song in here as well?
Yeah, it's 48. So, Jai means all glories. Or victory, can also mean victory. Like my Guru Maharaj is called Jai Pataka, Swami. Pataka means flag, so my Guru Maharaj is called the flag of victory. Which is, you can't see it, but it's on Arjuna's car. There is a flag with Hanuman on that, and that is called, you know Hanuman?
That's the monkey, right?
Yeah, so he's on Arjuna's flag, and that flag is called the Jai Pataka, the flag of victory. Anyway, but in this context it means all glories. I'll just read it to you. Krishna is the lover of Radha. He displays many amorous pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan. So that is Jai Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari means the groves of Vrindavan. He is the lover of the coward maidens. Let me see. That is Gopi Janavallabha. Gopi means coward girl. Like Gopa means coward boy. It's like cow, boy. You see? Go means cow. And pal means friend. It's almost like the American. Go pal, cowboy. So, my name is also, it's Madhu Gopal or Gopal. You pronounce it Gopal.
Okay.
Yeah. So that means this, das. I'm the das of Madhu Gopal. I'm the servant of the sweet coward boy. Krishna, it's the name of Krishna. Anyway, so Gopi Janavallabha, he's the lover of the coward maidens of Raj. Giri Vanadari, the holder of the great hill named Govardhan. He used to lift this hill up with his pinky, left pinky, to protect the denizens of Vrindavan, which is a place, if you go from Delhi to Agra, you've heard of Agra? It's where the Taj Mahal is. You must have heard of that. So from Delhi to the Taj Mahal, you go to the left, and it's called Vrindavan. It's near Mathura, and that is where Krishna appeared. You can actually go there. It's a very nice place. It's a little bit intense because all the people from Delhi go there, and you know, you can imagine there's many hotels, and it used to be really.
People walk around the hill, right?
They also walk around the hill. Oh, you know that.
That is,
yeah, right. So he lifted that hill to protect them from some. Well, we call it torrential rain. It was like extreme rains. So that is why he lifted it. The holder of the great hill named Govardhan. And you have to also imagine that this is 5,000 years ago. So that hill now it's a little bit smaller. But it used to be the greatest mountain in the world. These things are a little bit difficult sometimes to grasp, but what I understood is that it's sunk inside the earth. Sometimes mountains, they sink in the earth, so that's what happened. Anyway, Yashoda Nandana, the lover, I'm sorry, the beloved son of Mother Yashoda, that's his mother. Actually, it's his foster mother. His real mother is called Devaki, because he's actually a prince. And his Mother Yashoda, she is also a cow lady. She's actually the wife of Nanda Maharaj, who's like the king of all the cow boys. Mm-hmm. So she's also kind of a princess or a queen, but it, you know, you don't really have, you know, queens with cow men. But they were very rich. They were very, rich, especially opulent. They had like thousands and sometimes described as millions and millions of cows, so much gold, you know, most, you know, profound foodstuffs, because they were making anything fresh from the cows, and they had so many, you know, crops and fruits. So that is his mother, or his foster mother. The delighter of the inhabitants of Raj, Braja Janaranjana, so Braj means Raj, or Vrindavan, and Yamunatira Vanachari. He wanders in the forest along the banks of the river Yamuna. So, Srila Prabhupada said that this song is a picture of Vrindavan. Everything is there. Srimati Radharani, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Yashoda, and all the cow boys. So, I also heard another explanation of this song. The song also means all glories to Radha and Madhav, to Radha and Krishna, who displays many amorous pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan. And in Gopajana Vallabha, it means one who is the lover of the maidens of Raj, and Girivaradari, he holds up the great hill. So one spiritual master, he explained it, that if you become dear to the gopis, or you become dear, then you become dear to Krishna. And if you become dear to Krishna, then he will protect you. He will, because this actually happened, the hill was actually lifted by Krishna, but he will lift, like, I don't want to say symbolical, but he'll lift your problems. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll, but the idea is that you become a follower of the gopis. And actually our gurus, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they are also followers of the cow girls. That's how it's explained.
But do you reckon nothing in these songs should be taken symbolically? It's
no.
Always.
Yeah, it's all literal. No. Krishna was a person, he was the supreme person. And he appeared in India. It looked like he was born, that's why people get confused, but he didn't actually get born. It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that he entered the heart of his father, and then from there he entered the heart of his mother, and then she had some apparent pregnancy, and then he just appeared, kind of. And he appeared in a four-armed form, like a Vishnu form. And then he, well, first he appeared as a baby, and then he turned into a Vishnu form, and then he turned back to a baby. So that's how it's explained. And then his father, it's a whole story, but they were in prison, and so his father brought him to Vrindavan. And that's where he grew up with Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. That is what this song is describing. So you also have to understand that. Because this is actually, because I didn't explain it so much yesterday, because I just kind of went from, this is Bhagavad Gita, you have to accept that it's spoken by God, which is fine. Another reason is that if you look at the life of someone like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I just told you, as a magistrate, all the British, like big British politicians and people in charge, they respected him like anything. Mm-hmm. And this person, not an ordinary person, and he wrote these things. So, and he also confirmed that yes, Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Lord Krishna. So it's also a matter of who do you trust? Do you trust Stephen Hawking, or do you trust Bhaktivinoda Thakur? I trust Bhaktivinoda Thakur above Stephen Hawking. It's not that everything Stephen Hawking says is nonsense.
Aren't they both to be trusted?
Well, it's possible, but the thing is, Stephen Hawking is denying the existence of God.
Uh-huh.
So that's where he's wrong.
Okay, but he's only speaking about nature.
Yeah, but he is making these propositions, then God doesn't exist.
Okay, yeah, but it's not to be...
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, people accept them as an authority. People accept the so-called scientists as an authority. So our scientific process is called, I always get this wrong, it's called descending. The knowledge descends from Krishna to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to his son, to Srila Prabhupada, and he also initiated his disciples. And one of them is Chaitanya Swami, and so he initiated me. And it's also about knowledge. You know, the way he lives his life inspires me. He teaches by example. And that way you can understand it. And then the Stephen Hawking's way of knowledge is ascending. They're trying to look through telescopes and things like that, so they're trying to, you know, go up. They're a little tiny speck in the existence, and they're trying to understand the whole, you know, material universe or universes by going up and speculating. So if you think about it philosophically, that is not a very sound process. Like, for instance, if you want to be sure that man is mortal, because we kind of accept it as a fact, you have to, according to their process, you have to study every man until you can make a conclusion. So we just read it from Bhagavad Gita. We accept that Krishna says, you know, the body is mortal and the soul is eternal. There's no exception. Birth, death, old age and disease. You know, because the scientists are all saying, you know, we're gonna, you know, make a medicine for this and that, we're gonna cure cancer, we're gonna even, you know, at some stage we might even make you eternal. You know, we might, not eternal, they say immortal. But this is all, it's kind of a fantasy, actually. It's not really possible. Many people have tried. And sometimes they can get a long way, and then Krishna has to come and kill them. Because it's not.
They're not gods, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just not allowed. The universe is structured in a certain way. You have people that are in charge, and if people start to usurp that, you could also call it an ascending process. When they start illegally getting into a position where they rule the universe, then, and if the demigods can't deal with that, then Krishna himself personally comes and kills the demon. It's more like a sort of a sport. Like some people go out hunting. So that same desire is also with Krishna. Uh-huh. He also, he's in the spiritual world and he thinks like, okay, I'm going to the material world, I'm going to kill some demons. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's not get too much off track. But the point is that if you become a follower of the gopis, then Krishna will protect you. And another idea also about the song is that even though Yashoda loves him, and all the residents of Vrindavan love him, all the coward girls love him, everybody loves him, he is Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Vana means forest. Vanachari means one who walks in the forest. And near the Yamuna. Yamuna is a famous holy river. So even though everybody loves him, he's completely detached. I explained it yesterday also. So he just says, Hari Bol, bye-bye, and he just walks next to the Yamuna and in the forest, leaving all the coward girls broken-hearted and crying, where's Krishna? And then he comes back again. It's all part of the, call it Lila, pastimes. But he's that detached. He's like, it's all these beautiful young girls, and he just walks away, going to herd the cows, or, you know, sometimes
he comes back because he's attached to the...
No, he's not attached. He just comes back because he wants to come back. That's the thing, he's not attached. That's what I'm trying
not
to explain.
Attached.
No, he's not attached.
You said he is attached.
Well, it's called a lila, it's a pastime. He is attached in one sense, but he's attached to the love that they have. So it's difficult to explain. It's a spiritual thing. Because in the material world we get attached materially. It's a little bit difficult to explain. Yeah, but it's an important point to grasp. Sometimes they say that the love that is in the spiritual world is most similar to the love that a mother has for her child. Because it's unconditional. You can grasp that idea, right? So generally, relationships in the material world, they're conditional. You generally want something from the girl or the girl from the man. So, but with Krishna and the gopis, that is not there at all. First of all, they have spiritual bodies. And then second of all, the gopis have no desire to want anything from Krishna. All they desire is to please Krishna. They rather die, you know, and please Krishna, than live and that Krishna is displeased. That's how deep it goes. Mm-hmm. And Krishna, he kind of, you know, as his, you know, if you can say that about God, his heart kind of melts, you know, and he gets, he also loves them. So it's a reciprocation, but it's based on love, pure love. And that's actually what we are trying to achieve also, trying to achieve love for Krishna. And he doesn't give it very quickly, because the thing is, if you really love him, then he has to love you back. And that means you can ask anything. So you can't abuse that. So therefore the love has to be real. Because if it's real love, you won't ask anything. You see, you just want to serve that person. So that is what we're trying to reach, and that is what I tried to explain yesterday also. You just try to do something that you like to do for Krishna. Mm-hmm. And then gradually all these other things, they will just be left by the roadside, and you'll just be focused more and more on just serving Krishna. It's a process. It can be done in 1 second, because you can just say, okay, I'm going to fully surrender to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Theoretically, it can be done in 1 second. But in practice, we see that it takes many, many years to come to that point. But we just need to surrender, and like I a little bit touched upon it, that surrender ultimately has to take place by a spiritual master, or as we said, the representative of Lord Krishna. Because you can't just go to the deity and surrender to the deity, because in general we perceive it as stone. So the spiritual master is like a representative of Krishna, so you surrender to him. So it's a little bit difficult, like my bhakti leader used to say, you should find at least one person in the world that you think like he's more advanced than me, and I can surrender to him or to her. You know, so then that person is generally is the spiritual master. Of course, it has to be spiritual. So if you're not interested in spiritual matters, then you don't need a spiritual master. But if you're interested in who am I, what is the meaning of life, you know, what am I, then you need a spiritual master. And if you're sincere, then Krishna will send you a genuine spiritual master. That's how it works. But it's a again, that also can happen very quick, but generally we see that it's a gradual process. It's like waking up. You can wake up in 1 second, but it's extreme. Generally,
you found a good master, right?
Huh?
You found a good master.
I like to think so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And when did that happen?
Well, I took initiation officially in the year 2000. I joined in 1996. And so around 1998, something like that, 1999, around that time.
And how long did it take you?
Well, so I'm saying about 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah. But I was slow. I was very slow. Actually, I was inspired by another person, and yeah, he had some personal problems. Sometimes it happens. Yeah. Not a very palatable topic, but...
But 4 years is not that slow.
It's not that slow. No. Some people take longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But most people takes 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
I would say that would be a good time, but it's not bad to wait.
It's from the point when they really start searching.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the song, and we've got Krishna here. I know you're chanting your rounds, but would you like to sing the song for us? No? Okay, then you have to do it with me. So we're going to sing the song now. So, yeah, for me personally, the most ecstatic thing of the song is that if you become, and that's what I'm trying to explain to you, is you become a follower of the gopis, if you become a follower of Srila Prabhupada, then Krishna will protect you. That's the essence, actually, of our philosophy.
It's a pure question.
Yeah, it is, actually. Yeah. It's very profound. Very, very profound. It's the most, you won't find this anywhere else. It's the most highest realization of God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came 500 years ago in Bengal, in near Calcutta, and he taught us this. He's actually also Krishna. He's Radha Krishna. It's said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. He is Radha and Krishna combined. Mm-hmm. He's actually Krishna, yet he's in the mood of Radharani. And in the spiritual world, the mood and the person is the same. So his color is also that of Radharani. It's a golden color. So, and he taught us that the highest form of love of God is the love that the gopis had for Lord Krishna. It's called conjugal ras. Means the rise of a lover, of to be loved. And then and within that you have parakriya ras, and I think parakriya is what the gopis have, no? And then you have also, that is unmarried, mm-hmm. because they're lovers.
Parakriya ras is
married. Very good, very good. Yeah, so the parakriya ras is when two lovers are married, and it's a little bit official.
No, parakriya is like, married to someone else, but she loves
Krishna. Right, right. And then the other one we forgot, but we'll remember shortly. Or, you know, tomorrow. You should know that you're at the college. And you got your bachelor's degree. Anyway.
It's actually a kind of cheating.
Well, this is very, you have to be very careful, because that is what I tried to explain, that when Krishna came, like when Obama comes to Holland, to Belgium, generally he brings his airplane, Air Force One. There's like lots of American vehicles. He brings his own food, brings his own butler, right? He's got a whole thing, you know. Maybe he goes to the American Embassy, which is considered America. It's American soil. If you go there, you're in America. Nobody can touch you. So Krishna, when he comes, he brings his whole country. And that is Vrindavan. It's difficult to understand, but that's actually what's going on. And the, many of the persons that were living in Vrindavan, they were also, they had spiritual bodies. And so the gopis that were like that, they were actually completely spiritual personalities. And so they were married with their husbands. Yet when Krishna played his flute, they just left everything and they ran to Krishna. So we have to understand that first of all, everything belongs to Krishna. Everything, all the beautiful girls belong to Krishna, all the money belongs to Krishna. So in that sense, they didn't cheat it on their husbands. And another thing is that it was completely spiritual, it was a spiritual relationship. It wasn't anything. It was actually this particular pastime was when, I think Krishna was about 8 years old. It's called the Rasa dance. It's a very intimate pastime. And so when you're 8 years old, then, you know, there might be some love, attraction for a girl, but it's not really sexual. You know? So it was like that, and they were dancing in the forest. You know? But it's still, according to Vedic culture, it was very, very immoral. Mm-hmm. But because it was Krishna, it actually was moral. So that's, it's difficult to grasp, because many people in India, they don't grasp this. But I think the way I explained it, it should be clear, no? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So, but what you have to keep in mind is that Krishna and the coward girls, they have spiritual bodies. They're really not a part of this world. And another thing, because not all of the coward girls were like that. Some of them, they still needed some purification. But as soon as they ran to Krishna, they left their material bodies. And they obtained their spiritual bodies, which were also, which were basically the same, were also like coward girls. And so they, you know, surrendered to Krishna. And it's, you know, like a pure love. So, yeah, so that is what I wanted to give you with this song, that if you become a follower of the Kaur Gurus, and our gurus, they represent that, then Krishna will protect you. So, yeah, it's a very practical thing, because what I'm telling you now is very, very high. Mm-hmm. It's the highest level. Mm-hmm. So we have to start at the beginning. You can't just jump over that is it's called taking chip. It's called sahaja. So what we do here is sadhana. We practice. And then gradually, this love, it's something very personal. It will be inside of your heart, will develop. And you might reveal it to others, but only to like-minded persons. Because normal people will not understand it if you tell them, you know, I'm completely in love with Krishna, and like that, you know. And it's not like, it's not artificial thing, it's something very deep. Like when you love somebody for real, like that, you also don't tell everybody. You tell maybe your best friend that I really love this girl, because you're not going to understand it. So this is, with Krishna it's the same, it's a very intimate thing, and it's internal.
But we can only preach if someone asks you about it.
Yeah, generally we don't discuss it so much, but you know, because we explained the song, and the song is so elevated, I wanted to touch upon it. Yeah, but generally we don't discuss this actually, at least not in the beginning. But it's alright, you know. Like you say, you ask questions, and then we can explain it. But otherwise, generally we don't just discuss it so much. Although at the same time, I feel also that, you know, if you explain it in the right way, it's not so bad to discuss it. But it always needs care. Okay, well, time is practically up. I'll still sing the song. We'll just be a class about Jaira and Amanda.
Still the introduction.
Yeah, that was the introduction to the song. So I guess we have to skip the class. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi. Gopi Janavalaba Girivaradhari. Gopi Janavalaba Girivaradhari. Radha Madhava Kunjabi. Gopi Janavalaba Girivaradhari. Gopi Janavalaba Girivaradhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Chari Natira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabiyari. Radha Madhava Kunjabiyari. Gopi Janavalaba Girivaradhari. Gopi Janavalaba Girivaradhari. Gopi Janavalaba Girivaradhari. Gopi Janavalaba Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Nandana Braja Janaranjana. Gai Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Paribhadgacharya, Sadhru, Satya, Simar, Bhakti, Siddhanta, Saraswati, Goswami, Maharaj, Prabhupada, Kidaya, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava, Vrindi, Jai, Namacharya, Siddharanda, Sthakur, Kidaya, Prem, Skos, Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shidvaita, Gadara, Sarasvati, Gauravakta, Vrindi, Jai, Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Chamakula Radha Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Navadvip Dham ki jai, Ganga Maya ki jai, Yamuna Maya ki jai, Sankirtan Yajna ki jai, Nitya Grau Premanande Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled lotus, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled lotus, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled lotus. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Mukhlesh Mani Pakta Vrata Santa Mani Namaste Sarasatre Gauram Charanam Sheshu Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So thank you very much. Tomorrow we'll continue, or not continue, we'll try and do Bhagavad Gita class, but now at least you know what you're singing. So thank you very much. And I will sing more Hare Krishna. I explained that yesterday, right? You remember this mantra, what it means?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Please engage me in your devotional service for Krishna. It's basically, it's a short version. So thank you very much. Well, I was singing it. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Well, we skipped one of the jais. You see?
One of the jais.
Yeah.
Which one is that?
The second one. So it's Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Then it goes Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari. Actually, you skip most of the jais. That's why it's in brackets.
Because you have to skip
that. Well, it's optional.
Okay.
Yeah. There's different. Yeah, there's different versions.
And why should you skip
them? No, it's just. It's a song, you know.
Okay.
So some person seems like that.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, Jai means all glories.
Uh-huh.
So it's just a form of reference. That's it.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Hare
Krishna.
Should have seen your face.